Grace and peace to you this morning from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable we just read this morning, told by Jesus, also serves us well as an allegory. Each character in Jesus' story represents a real person or group. The immediate meaning of the parable would seem to go like this. The landowner refers to God. The vineyard represents the nation of Israel. The Jews would have been familiar with Isaiah 5, which we read earlier, about God planting a vineyard, symbolizing Israel. The wicked tenants probably represent the Jewish religious leaders and rebellious people. The servant sent by the owner would represent the Old Testament prophets. God sent many prophets to Israel to warn them of their sin, but they were mistreated, and some of them were killed. The owner's own son has to represent Jesus Christ. And the new tenants to whom the owner gave the vineyard represent the rest of us, the church of Jesus Christ. There is a strong tendency when we study the parables to name them from a human perspective. If you use the older NIV translation, you would read about the parable of the prodigal son. I'm sure that's familiar to all of us. But if we try to look at it from God's perspective, we might have a title like the parable of the forgiving father. That's really what the main point was. Not long ago, we studied a parable about workers who worked a different period of time, but they all got the same pay. It might be titled the parable of the workers in the vineyard, but if we named it from God's perspective, we could well call it the parable of the generous boss. That's really what the main point is. Now, the parable that we read today is usually referred to as the parable of the tenants. But we could also call it the parable of the patient landowner. And we would be naming just one of the main points that it makes. This is really a challenge as human beings we face in life. We tend to look at things from our perspective, but we would do well to seek to know and search out what is God's perspective on these things in our lives. And actually, in our parable this morning, we can find at least three truths about God in this parable. Actually, there's four. I'm just preaching on three of them. And number one truth is God is the owner. And we might give lip service to believing that God is the owner, but does that fact influence our stewardship of the things that He has given to us? God is the Creator. He owns all planet Earth and everything beyond it. And the psalmist writes in 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." The tenants did not own the vineyard. The owner had placed them there and expected to receive some of the grapes harvested. Was that unreasonable? He did not demand all the grapes, just a portion. But the tenants rejected his request and acted as if they owned the vineyard and all the harvest belong to them. Let's put this into a more modern setting. Imagine you are a landlord, and we have a number of landlords in our congregation. Imagine you are a landlord and you own some condominiums. You're a busy man, and you send one of your employees to collect the rent for you. But instead of paying the renter beats up your worker and informs him, quote, "This apartment is mine. I am not paying another dollar for it. Get off my property and stay off of it." How would you feel about that? I bet you would take action and soon. And that may give us a better insight to how God may feel about it. But note today, that is not what God is doing in this story. We might say that truth number two is God is patient. If this was real life today, we would call the police, wouldn't we? And there'd be red or blue lights flashing and there would probably be an arrest. But this is a made up story by Jesus, for God wants to teach us something. And so first he sent his servants to gather some of the fruit. They beat one, killed another, and stoned another. But he was patient, and he sent more servants. They received the same treatment. So finally, he sent his son. We don't want to miss the point that this parable is also about each one of us. God has prepared a vineyard for us to manage. God has put us here, but He is the Almighty Creator and He owns it all. He expects something from you and me. He's not expecting 90% or even half of what we have. But He does want us to be generous and cheerful about giving back to Him. That being said, your money is not primarily what He wants. He wants you. He is asking you to acknowledge His ownership, His lordship over your life. And this vineyard that you and I are living in, yeah, it's not all that hot. He even has plans to relocate us to a place where there will be no more sin, no more death, no more bad neighbors. You see, He really does love us. He really does want to take good care of us. So this is truth number three. God is love. That's one of His main attributes, perhaps His main attribute. And in the parable, after the owner's servants had been rejected and abused, He takes an astonishing step. He sent His son. Mark, the Gospel of Mark also refers to this parable. But in Mark's writings, his words indicate that it was the owner's only son. That makes the sacrifice even greater. It's hard to miss who Jesus is really talking about here, isn't it? He is really talking about Himself. And John 3:16 reaffirms this with the all-important statement, "God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Do we fully understand that? Do we appreciate it? There is only one God, and He has only one Son, and He loved us so much, He sent His only Son, who died so that we could be reconciled with God the Father. That is one thing that is absolutely amazing about God's love. We are sinners by nature and by choice. But God still loves us in spite of our sin. He has provided a solution to our problem through the perfect sacrifice and payment by His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Not only that, He has reached out to us time and time again with plenty of messengers. He sent His prophets also for us. And a record was kept of their history and of the wonderful prophecies that God gave through His prophets who point to Jesus Christ. So we know we're not making any mistake about who He is. His prophets were ignored, mistreated, and sometimes killed. And He then sent His only begotten Son, Jesus. And Jesus chose 12 disciples to instruct and to pass on His teachings to us. 11 of the 12 were martyred for the Christian faith. And God has used many additional methods to acquaint us with His plan of salvation. We have the most published book in the history of the world in the Bible. We have all those ministers and priests and teachers in Christ's church. We have a worldwide web filled with at least thousands of Bible studies. My resource said millions, but I don't know who's counted them, so I put it down to thousands, but I bet there's many of thousands there. And there are reminders all around us that we have a date with death, and we better be prepared to meet our Creator. For God is patient, but He will not be patient forever. There is a day set in history as we know it when time, the history of this world, will come to an end. But for those of us living today, our time in this world may come to an end well before that. We only live a heartbeat away from eternity. Not everyone grows old and dies. The mass shootings in Nevada this past week should at the very least teach us that. And God's messenger, Paul, warns us in 2 Corinthians 6:2 when he says, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And now is also the day when those of us who believe in Jesus and appreciate His sacrifice should respond by producing good fruit for His kingdom and returning to Him a fair amount of what He has given us for kingdom work. What has been your response to this day? To all that God has done for you. You're here this morning, and that's a big plus. There's other things we need to look at in our life also. It's a good thing for each of us to examine himself. The Bible encourages that. So ask yourself, am I being a good steward of the vineyard in which God has placed me? Do I really appreciate what God has done and what He is planning for me? Is the time I spend with Him and the talents I use to serve Him and the money I return to support kingdom work reflect a real appreciation of what He's done for me? There are many witnesses I could call up here this morning who not always returned generously to the Lord. But then God's Word touched their heart and they started doing that. And they have found that those who are faithful in the use of their time and their treasure and their talents are indeed blessed by our Lord God. I don't know who said it, but I found it to be true in my life, and many others have also. You can't outgive God. Amen.